We begin the current Dav Masech, this Gittin Dav Chav Tes. We begin on the bottom line of Chav Ches Mabez, where the Gemara continues with a different version of the Gemara's discussion on the previous Dav. And that is, we had in the Mishnah on Dav Chav Ches Mabez, continuing on the theme of the previous Mishnah, discussing the halachas of Chazaka, a presumptive state that something is in, we assume in halacha that it's continuing whatever was up until now. So Rabbi Elazar ben Paratha said in front of the Chachamim, three halachas, that it continues with the status that it had assumed up until now, regarding a city that was under siege, regarding a ship that was in turmoil and turbulence on the high seas, and someone that's being taken out to a capital punishment court case, we assume that the person is still alive. In contrast, we says, let's say if the city was already conquered by the enemy, and the ship already sank at sea, and the person is being taken out already after the court case, the verdict was that he's being taken out to be executed, there already you don't have a chazaka anymore that he's still alive. There is, we place upon that person the stringencies of were he to be alive and the stringencies of were he to be dead, which would have ramifications if, let's say, his wife is a Bas Yisrael married to a Kohen or a Bas Kohen married to Yisrael. Either way, we're going to say stringent that, let's say, he's alive or dead, which either one would be a stringency for either one woman. She's not going to be able to eat truma. Now, Rabbi Yosef, in the first version of the Gemara, qualified this halacha, the last one that we said, regarding if someone's Yotzi Laharig is being taken out to be executed, but we didn't hear if he got executed yet or not, then we say that for halachic purposes, we say there's a stringency either way, that whichever one's going to be a bigger stringency, that he's alive or dead, that's what we're going to attribute that. So Rabbi Yitzchak said this halacha was only said regarding a Jewish court. We're there, possibly he's still alive, because they would turn over the verdict if it turns out that someone has evidence that he shouldn't be killed. But by the non-Jewish courts, then they said that, no, once they pass the verdict, for sure the person is going to die, and therefore we could assume that he's dead. We don't have to suspect that he's still alive. That was the first version. Now the Gemara continues, Ikud Amrei, that those that say, actually, the other way around, a version of Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef, he says, Lo Yishon, we didn't learn this halacha, the Mishnah, that when someone's being taken out to be executed, we just didn't hear yet if he was executed or not, that we place upon that person the stringencies of being alive, because although we should assume that he was executed, maybe not, says Rav Yosef in this second version, that was only taught Ela Bebezdin Shel Ibdi Kechavim. Not like the first version, which said it was only taught by a Jewish court, but by a non-Jewish court, then we assume he's dead. This version says that no, we only have this suffix, this doubt, only by a non-Jewish court. And the reason being is because by the non-Jewish courts, even though the verdict was already passed that the guy should be executed, they take bribes. So even though the guy's about to be by the executioner, you bribe him enough money, they can let him go. However, as the Gemara continues on top of Chav Tesem and Alf, of Bebezin Shel Yisrael, but by a Jewish court, Kivin and Nafik Leidin Eliktala, once the verdict was passed that he's going to be killed, Katlele, they kill him, and therefore, actually, a Jewish court, then you don't give Chumri Chaim, you don't have to give a stringency that he's alive, you could assume that he's dead, and therefore, for example, let's say if you have a Bas Kohen married to Yisrael, she could go and eat Truma if she didn't have children from her husband, because you could assume that he's dead, and therefore she can go back eating from her father's household. Because once it passes, katlele, they for sure kill them. Now, on that, Omle Abaya asked on Rabbi Yosef that, and this is the inverse of the discussion on the previous daf, Omle Bezdin Shel Yisrael Nami, what do you mean? Even the Jewish court, Efshe Dechaz Leischusa, what do you mean? Maybe they're going to find merits for the person that's being killed, and that's actually the halacha, so why would you assume that for sure that he's dead? Maybe that they found the merit. So on that, Rabbi Yosef answers, no. Ki chazal is chuso, when do they find merits for the person? That's mikmei de ligmerdina. Before the court case ended, people are still bringing in evidence, then we could suspect that maybe he's still alive. Basa gmardina sula chazal is chuso. Once the court case is finished, then they don't find any more merit for him. Meaning, yes, of course, if someone would bring evidence that he's innocent, even when they're taking him out to be executed, they would bring him back. But what the Gemara is essentially saying is that's not common. Because once the court case is over, someone would have brought evidence. It could happen, but it's not common. And therefore, we don't have to be in doubt about that. So since we don't take bribes by the Jewish courts, what's the odds that someone brought evidence now, finally, when the court case was over, and they're going to be executed him, with the Jewish courts for sure put in their due diligence. And therefore, by the Jewish courts, then you could assume that he's dead. It's only by the non-Jewish courts where even though he's being taken to be executed, maybe someone bribed, which is very logical that could have happened, and then therefore you have to have the Chumri Chaim over there. Now the Gemara says, Lemi Misayele. according to this version of Rabbi Yosef, let's say it's supported from a Mishnah Masechtas Makkos. The Mishnah Masechtas Makkos says, "Kol makom sheyamdu shnayim biyamru." Anytime you have a situation where two people grab a hold of a guy and bring him to court, and they say, "Me'idin anu es ish pleini," we testify regarding this guy, "Shenigma dina bevezdina shel pleini." His court verdict was passed in that court that he is deserving of the death penalty. And upleini pleini edik, we could even tell you who were his witnesses that testified that this guy did something that was deserving of the death penalty. So the halach is, says the Mishnah Masechtas Makkos, harezi harik. So he gets killed because you have two witnesses testifying that he had a guilty verdict of the death penalty, so that we could kill him. So you see, like Rabbi Yosef, that by a Jewish court, we don't assume that maybe later on this guy had someone bring evidence to say that he's innocent, because if he did, okay, even if you're testifying that he had a guilty verdict in that court, maybe someone else brought evidence to the contrary afterwards. Obviously, you see, but we're not concerned for that. And that's why the Jewish court, you don't have to be suspect that he's still alive, because once you're taken out to be executed, they're going to execute him. And that the Gemara says, no, not a raya dimla by Reich Shani, maybe a fugitive, someone that fled a court case, maybe there it's different. Maybe there, as you see from that Mishnah Masechtas Makkos, then we don't assume that maybe someone else brought evidence that he's innocent. But by a regular guy who's had a court case and is on his way to be executed, maybe over there it's possible and we would suspect that someone brought evidence that he's innocent, and therefore maybe you would put Chur Mechayim. Maybe it's not a right to Rav Yosef. Maybe even by the Jewish court, you would assume that maybe he's still alive even though he's taken out to be executed. So the Mishnah says, Tashma, let's bring a different raya, similarly like Rav Yosef. The Brisa says, Shama mi bezn shel Yisrael shahayu oimim. Let's say overheard from a Jewish court, from the judges, that they were saying, Ish pleini meis. This guy, he died. Which is they put him in the room and they let him die by his own because he's a repeat offender. Or ish pleini nerek. Or they say that this guy was killed, one of the four mises bezdin. So the halacha is, Yisirus ishle. So they could marry his wife off because from a legitimate source, from the Jewish courts, they say that he was killed. If he was killed, so his wife could marry someone else now. But if he heard about this from a non-Jewish court, specifically, let's say, from the executioner, that he said, ish pleini meis, that this person died where they used to fill up the ground halfway up with sand up to his neck, or ish pleini nerek, where they say that this guy was killed in their non-Jewish courts, the halacha is al yasu yisishle. Then they can't marry off their wife based on what this executioner is saying. Now, the question is, my mace and my nerek. What does it mean when we're comparing these two different cases by the Jewish courts and the non-Jewish courts? What does it mean when they said that this guy died or that he was killed? And that is ilim and mace mamish from nerek mamish. If you would think it means to say that they're saying that he died and that he was killed, and that's why by the Jewish courts when they say that okay, so he was killed, so he can marry off the wife, and the kavasei gabei abdikavim. Then the same corollary would be by the non-Jewish court, by the executioner, who he said that this guy was killed, or he died, the question is, am I al yisuas ishta? If that would be the case conceptualization of the braisa, then why wouldn't the wife be able to be married, even in that case of the non-Jewish courts? But hakayim alone, but we have established the halacha, that koma sich lefi tumay, anytime a non-Jew says over something, innocently, not presenting evidence in a court of law, then he munim mehamnile, that we trust, we believe in what he's saying, because why should he be lying? So here the non-Jewish executioner, who is just bragging and saying, oh, this guy, he was killed in our court, whereas he's not providing evidence in the court of law, why, if the guy who hears this shouldn't believe that non-Jew, and then be able to testify to allow his wife to get remarried? So elalav, rather we must say, that when the Bryce is talking about that either one, the Jewish court or the non-Jewish court, is saying meis, that he died, it means yoytzei lamos. It means to say the guy is saying that he was taken out to die. Or venerig means yoytzei laharik. When it says that he was killed, it means he was taken out to be killed. Because, again, if it meant was killed, then even the non-Jewish executioner should be believed. Now, so it must be that's told him that he was taken out to be killed. Ukutani, and what do we learn in the Braisa? But Bezdin Shel Yisrael, that when it's by a Jewish court, yes, see, yes, ishtay, they can marry off his wife. Why could they marry off his wife? Because by a Jewish court, there's no reason to suspect, like Rav Yosef says, that the person wasn't killed because they don't take bribes. The non-Jewish executioner, yeah, although he's believed to say Masich Levitumi that he was taken out to be killed, but maybe the person was bribed, so we still have to suspect that maybe he's still alive. So similarly, there's a riot to Rav Yosef that, however, by the Jewish courts, if the judge believed, as he is, that the person was taken out to be killed, then he was killed. And that the Gemara says, no right. La'olam meis mamish v'nehareg mamish. Truthfully, it's like the first approach. You could say the Bryce is talking about that they were testifying, or in other words, they were just saying at least, that he was killed or that he died. Where that's why if the Jewish judge says that, so of course he's believed, and therefore we know that he's dead. The kavasegabe of the guchav. And you're right, the corollary would be the same thing by the non-Jewish court, by the executioner. So the question is, am I loy? So why wouldn't he be believed? The halacha is that wherever he's just talking innocently, where he's just bragging and saying this thing, we believe him. And if he's saying that he's dead, that he was killed, so then we should allow the wife to get remarried. And that's what the Gemara says. That was only said by things that are not related to the non-Jew in a personal way. But it's something that applies to him. They're assumed to be lying because he's bragging, he's boasting, there's a bias over here where, we killed him, even though he didn't really know for sure that he killed him. Maybe he's bending the truth a little bit. That's why, although generally we believe him, but it's only something that has nothing to do with him at all. Here it has something to do with him and his court and his executionary styles and whatever it is. Therefore, there we don't believe him, even though he's saying mace and nereg, and therefore there's no right to Rabbi Yosef because it's not about yoytz laharig or yoytz lamas. It was actually Tomat regarding dying or nereg. That's why by the Jewish court, we believe him and we assume that, and we know that the person's dead. In contrast, even by the Jewish court, possibly, even if he's being taken out to be killed, maybe he wasn't killed, and therefore no raya to Rav Yosef. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing on this theme about a shliach that's bringing a get. So the Mishnah says, "Hamivi get be'eretz Yisrael." If someone, a shliach, is bringing a get in Eretz Yisrael, where the halacha is, as we already established in the beginning of the Masechta, that he doesn't have to say b'fani nechtav b'fani nechtam, where in front of me was written, in front of me was signed. That's halacha only if you're bringing from Medina Sayyam to Eretz Yisrael. Again, either because in Medina Sayyam they're not proficient in Lishma, or because there's not going to be Edim Mitzvah in the Kaimai, which in Eretz Yisrael, both of those concerns do not apply. So you have an agent bringing from one place in Eretz Yisrael to another place. V'chala, and he became ill. He can't execute his agency. Says the Mishnah, so he could send it with someone else, and he could make the agent on his own, not in a court of law, not in the Bezdin. Now, however, but if the Baal, if the husband tells the Shliach, I'm giving you two jobs to do. Not only do I may send you to bring the get to my wife, but once you're there, there's a certain object that I want you to take from her to me, when you give her the get, then says the Mishnah, lo yishalchem miyad achar. Then the agent cannot send the get with a different person, with another shliach. And the reason is, she'ein ritzoin yishayi b'gdoin miyad achar. Because the Baal doesn't want his object that he's picking up from the wife to be in someone else's hand. I don't trust just anybody. You, I trust, to bring me back that object from my wife. So therefore, since there's two missions in this one agency, so therefore, even though, let's say, regarding the get, he has no problem sending it with someone else, but since there's another variable, which is to pick up the object, that I don't want someone else, and therefore that you wouldn't be able to continue the shlichas with someone else. But however, in Eretz Yisrael, go ahead, you can make another shliach, and more, but you can do it even on your own, because there's no b'fanenechtem, there's no bezdin presence that's required as a testimony that the shliach has to do. Now, Amrav Kahani qualifies the halacha of our Mishnah, that chalo tenan. In the Mishnah, we learned the halacha that if one shliach wants to send another shliach to finish up the shlichus, it's like the Mishnah says, it's only if chala, if he became ill, which is what's called an einus. And what Rav Kahana is essentially saying is the same thing would apply to all other einusin, which means situations that are beyond the person's control. But if it's not an einus, he just doesn't want to finish up the shlichus, then he wouldn't be able to send it in someone else's hands. That's what Rav Kahana explains. Now, the Gemara actually asks on Rav Kahana, the Pshita, pretty obvious. Chalakatani, the Mishnah said it, if someone's bringing the get in their son and becomes ill, then he could send someone else. So it's obvious that if he's not ill, it's not an oinus, then he can't send someone else. What's Rav Kahana teaching us? So now the Gemara says, no, Ma'adu Tema, we would have thought to say, Hu adin nafagav deloy chala. Maybe the halacha, the Mishnah, would apply even if the guy does not become sick. That is not an oinus. V'haydik tani chala, this that it says that he became sick, is orcha de milsa katani. He's just saying the normative way. Why, if someone takes the job of being an agent, wouldn't he go ahead and finish it off? A very practical case would be when he becomes sick. So, but maybe it would apply even if he's not sick. Kamash Blon. That's Rav Kahana's teaching us. No, it's specifically exactly as the Mishnah says it. Only if he becomes sick that it's an einus. But if it's not a situation of a complete duress, then you would have to do it on your own. Now the Gemara asks, well, if that's the case, heichidami, what exactly is the case conceptualization of our Mishnah? In other words, what type of agency did he accept upon himself? If the Baal had told him, take this, get to my wife. Now he did not tell him, Ata ba'atzmacha haylich. He didn't say, you yourself take it. He just said, take it. Now if that's the case, then Rav Kahana's halacha is difficult, because then seemingly it would be even if he does not become sick. Because if he just says, take it, whoever wants to, I'm just telling you, but you could send it with someone else, as the Gemara will shortly prove this. And if he tells him, you take it, well, then even if he becomes sick, he should not be able to send it with someone else. So it's difficult. Moreover, and if the Mishnah is like Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, then even if he doesn't tell him, you take it, doesn't make a difference, then even if he becomes sick, he should not be able to be sending it through someone else. The Tanya, like, learn the Braisa. The Braisa says, if a husband tells to a shliach, take this, get to my wife. So the halach is, so this agent could send it through another shliach, through another agent. Now, what we see from the Tanakam of this Braisa, he does not differentiate whether if the shliach became sick or didn't become sick, it doesn't make a difference. He can make another shliach. Now, the reason for this is, and this is part of the Gemara's question, is because the word haylech sounds like only that make sure that the get comes to her hand, but not that I need you to bring it over there. So you can make another shliach even if he did not become sick. But let's say he tells him, at haylech get zeh l'ishti, you take this get to my wife. Oh, then says the Tanakam, harizu lo yishlach enu b'yad acher. But seemingly, even if he becomes sick, you can't send it with someone else. I want you to bring it. He says, it doesn't make a difference what you said. At hoylech, or even regular hoylech, you can never send it with someone else. So the question is, how do we understand the halacha of our mission, especially the way Rav Kahana is qualifying it, that specifically if the person became sick, if without Rav Kahana, so we could say, lav davka, it's not necessarily about becoming sick. So that would make sense. That would be like the opinions that were mentioned over here. But if Rav Kahana is saying it has to be challah, but we don't understand. If he said haylech, well then, even if he doesn't become sick, he should be allowed to give it through someone else. And if he says at haylech, then even if he becomes sick, he should not be able to be sending it through someone else. And according to B'Shem Lulis, for sure it's difficult, because he says in any situation, the shliach cannot make another shliach. So I think Gemara has three approaches. If you want, you could say, to explain the halacha of the Mishnah, it's where the husband tells to the shliach, haylech, take it. Still, the Mishnah requires it, as Rav Kahana qualifies it, that it's only if the shliach becomes sick that he can send it with another shliach. Now, the reason being is because although the Tanakama, the Braisa, says that he could send it with someone else, v'hu d'chala. The Braisa, although it didn't mention that he could send it with someone else, when he says haylech, it's only if he becomes sick. So that's how we could resolve it, that the Braisa was also talking about, even by haylech, only if he becomes sick. Or v'ibayisim, or if you want, you could say, to explain the Mishnah, is where the husband tells him, at haylech, he even told him, you take it. But v'chol ashani, when the shliach becomes sick, then it's different. In other words, the braisa that said that you cannot send it with someone else when you say at haylech was tuma, when he does not become sick. If you're not becoming sick, I said I want you to. If you become sick, okay, although I told you, you take it, but I didn't mean it in the case of when there's an oinus. And then the braisa would agree, like the halacha of the Mishnah, then chala, even by at haylech, then he would be able to make another shliach. Or v'ibayisimu, which is similar to this last answer, that you could say the Tana of our Mishnah is Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, v'chol ashani, and becoming sick is different. Meaning that Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel himself was only talking about when the guy doesn't become sick. If he doesn't become sick, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says it doesn't make a difference if you say atoylich, or even if you just say haylich, I meant you to take it. But if it becomes sick, then Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel would agree to the Tana of our Mishnah that he would be able to send it with someone else. So therefore, our Mishnah could be like either one of those opinions if we explain the braises in different ways, which it works well, harmonizes with the halacha of our Mishnah, even the way Rav Kahana qualifies it. Now the Gemara, however, asked the following contradiction. Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, as we said, Hamevi get be'eretz Yisrael b'chala. If someone, an agent, a shliach, is bringing a get in Eretz Yisrael and it becomes sick, so he said, harizim eshalcha bi'arachar, so he could send it with someone else. On that, asked the Gemara of Riminu, but seemingly this is contradicted by a Mishnah later on, Amda Samach Vavam Adalf. The Mishnah says, Omer l'shnayim. If someone says to two people, Tnu get le'ishti, give a get to my wife. Now, as Rashi explains, he didn't give them an actual get. Although he's saying, give this, give a get to my wife, which sounds like, what get? He didn't give them an actual get. He made them the edim. They're two people. They're going to be the witnesses who are testifying and verifying the get. Now, although he didn't tell them that you yourselves have to write it, but as we're going to see, as the Mishnah is going to conclude, the Mishnah is going to say, Hare elu yichdu v'v'yitnu. They themselves have to write it and give it. And what's inherent in that halacha is, they cannot tell a scribe to write it and then they'll give it, as will be later on explained. But although he only said give it, what the halacha is that they're going to have to write it themselves and then give it. Or let's say another case, let's say he tells l'shloisha, he tells three people, here it's a different version because it's three people, here he says, kisvu get v'tnu l'ishti, he says to three people, I want you to write a get and give it to my wife. So regarding both of these cases, by two when he says only tenu, and by three when he says kisvu tenu, the halacha is hare elu yichtevu b'yitnu. So they have to write and then give it, meaning they themselves have to write the get. Because, especially by the case of the three, he said to them, write it and give it. Now, the inference of this halacha is, but if he told to three, like the case that he told to two, tenu get le'ishti, give a get to my wife, then actually, in the case of three, they would be allowed to tell other people to write it and to give it. The reason being is because since the husband told it to three people, tenu get le'ishti, it would be as if he's making them into a court of law, into a bezin, which is with three people, and a bezin is allowed to make a shliach to execute what the husband had told them. But one thing that the Gemara is asking from is that what we see from this Mishnah is that as we said before, they themselves, the three people, when he says kisvu tenu, or the two people, even when he only said tenu, they themselves have to write the get. Ava shliach loy, but they cannot make a shliach to go ahead and do what the husband had told them to do. So what you see, ask the Gemara, is that obviously an individual, a yachid, cannot make another shliach. Even two cannot. Three, if he said tenu, then they could. But you see, if it's two people, let's say that they themselves have to write it. But that contradicts the halacha of our Mishnah, which we said that even an individual shliach can make another shliach. So although he was already positioned, already hired by the Baal to do a job, so our Mishnah said, okay, it doesn't make a difference. He can have someone else do that job. But we see from the Mishnah, Samach Vav, that no. If he tells you to do it, you have to write it and you have to give it and you can't have someone else do that job for you. That's a contradiction. So the Gemara has two approaches. Amar Bai, he says, no. Hasim Taim Amai. There in the Mishnah Samach Vav Meralav, what's the reason why they themselves have to write it and they can't hire other people to write it? Is Mishum Bizoyan de Baal. It's because it's embarrassing, it's degrading for the husband. Why? Because the husband has to write the get. Now, he can have a sefer write it, but it's his job to have the get written up. Now, he doesn't want the public to know that he doesn't know how to write up a get. Now, he's hiring an agent to do that. But if the agents are going to go ahead and get other people, the word is going to get out, what's going on over here? Why are you hiring other people? Because here he's doing it between him and them. But if they're going to have other people do it, then it's going to get out that he's not writing it. Other people have to write it. Oh, he doesn't know how to write a get. What is this? What type of a person is he? So it's embarrassing. That's why, specifically in that case, they can't make other people to do the job that he had told them to do. But over here in our Mishnah, when an agent is delivering a get, for him to have another agent do the job for him, baloi kapit. The husband is not bothered by that because why should he be bothered by that? What's wrong with having an agent deliver something for you? So the fact that he's not doing it, delivering himself, and he has someone else delivering it because the word's going to get out because that agent's getting someone else to deliver it, doesn't bother him. So therefore, Abai says a very technical reason why it's not a contradiction. There, it's embarrassing. So you can't go ahead and make another shliach. Here, it's not embarrassing, so you can have another shliach. Rav Amar, he gives a different approach. He says the reason over there in that Mishnah Dav Samach Vav Med Aleph that they themselves cannot make other people as a shliach to write the get is Mishum Demili Ninu, is because the only thing that the husband was giving over to these people was words. Because he just said, do this job. He didn't give them over an object. He says, write, give a get. Now, words cannot be given over to an agent. In other words, that the authority, what he's giving to them, is not something that's able to be given over to other shluchim. Now, in contrast to the halach of our Mishnah by get, where it's a physical object of substance, where he gives it to a shliach, so that shliach can then just give over that piece of paper to another person. That you have an ability to pass on. But words, I told you to do a job. You can't then give over my words to someone else. And that's why, says Rava, is the difference between our Mishnah and that Mishnah Asamach Vav. Here, you can give over a paper. There, you can't give over words. And that's why it was limited. So the Gemara asks, my Benai, what's the difference between the interpretation of Abaya and the resolution of Rava? So the Gemara says, Ike Benai Shliach Matana. The difference would be in regards to a person that hired a shliach to deliver a gift to somebody else, meaning a shtar of a matan. In other words, if the balabai is told to two people, says, I want you to write a document of gifting that I want to gift to this other person. Now, if you say the reason is like abaya, because by a get, it's embarrassing, that doesn't apply over here by a shtar matan. And the reason being is because a shtar matan is not incumbent upon the gifter to write. Because actually the Mishnah teaches in Baba Basa, Kaf Samach Zayin Mabez, that the Mekabel, the one who is receiving the gift, he actually has to pay for the writing of the document. So therefore, if they want to, then they would be able to tell other people to write it because there's no bezayin in this case. But according to Rava, who says the reason is that you just can't give over words, so they also wouldn't be able to give over words, and even by Shtar Matana, they would have to write it themselves. Now the Gemara says, actually, Uba Plukta de Rav Shmuel, turns out that this machlik is a bayan rava, which we said the ramification is in the case of when the husband, when this person tells these people to write a shtar matana, is the same machlik as that we have with Rav and Shmuel. Because Rav Amar, he says, matana ina kiget. Rav says that the halacha that applies to a shtar matana is not the same as giving over a shlichis for a shtar of get, which is like a bayah. Because a bayah said the reason why by a get they cannot make a shliach of the Mishnah Samach Vav is because it's bezayin. The bezayin is only by get where he has to write it, and if he's not, people are going to say, oh, he doesn't know how to. But by Shtar Matana, that's not his job. It's the Mekabel's job, so it's not embarrassing for him. Whereas the Shmuel Amar Matana Arik Get, Shmuel says a document authorizing people to write a document for a gift is the same as authorizing people to write a document of a get. That's like Harava, who says, Allah is because of Mili Le Mimstrin, you can't give over words that the person had sent you that to give over to other people, that wouldn't make a difference if it's a shtar matana or a shtar get. And therefore, the same machlik as Rav and Shmuel is the same machlik as we have between Abaya and Rava in how to resolve the contradiction of our Mishnah and the Mishnah on Nav Samach Vav Min Aleph. Now the Mishnah qualified and said, but v'im, although you could make another shliach if you became sick, but v'im amar loy, but if the husband had said to the shliach, tuli hemenach, if it's plaini, but I also want you to take back that object from my wife, when you give her the delivery of the get, then he's not allowed to send it with someone else. Now, Amar Shlokesh, he qualifies this halach, and he says, Kan Shana Rebbe, this is where in our Mishnah, that Rebbe Yehuda HaNasi, who codified the Mishnah, teaches us the following halacha. In other words, this that the Mishnah taught us, that he's not allowed to send it with someone else, explains Rish Lakish, that's not because if you do send it with someone else, that will nullify the shlichus of the get. Because actually, holds Rish Lakish, if he does violate what the husband had told him and he sends the get with someone else, the get will be a get. Even though he doesn't want his pekadon, his object from the wife coming back to him to be in someone else's hands, but he did create him as a shliach to create a divorce, and therefore the woman will be divorced even though it's sent with another shliach after that. Now, however, this that the Mishnah teaches us, that lo yishalcheno, he's not allowed to send it with someone else, what it's teaching us is, incidentally, a different halacha that ina shoyl v'shoyl hashal, that a borrower cannot lend the borrowed object to somebody else. Eve ina seich v'shoyl hasker, neither can a renter go ahead and lease it out to somebody else. In other words, that's what Rebbe is teaching us, where you're not allowed to send with someone else. Now, if you do send the get with someone else, it's going to be a valid get. It's just saying that you would think that even though he tells them, I want you to pick up this object for me, that, okay, but I could have someone else pick it up for me. Although I'm the borrower or I'm the renter, but I could lease it out to someone else. So if you tell me to pick up the object, I could have someone else pick it up for me, and then I'll give it to you. That's Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi's teaching that no, you can't. Because someone's object, he doesn't want someone else to have it. If he lent it to you, he lent it to you, not to someone else. If he rented it to you, it was to you, not to someone else. But obviously, in the halachas of get, when regarding the delivery of the get, that will be a valid gerishin and a valid get. Now, however, Amalei Rabbi Yechon said to Rish Lakish, no, zu afilu tenekes shal beis rabin yaid noisa. What you're telling us that Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi is teaching us in this halacha, even little children know. Where if he lent it to you, he lent it to you, not to someone else. Everybody knows a shoyl is not permitted to be mashal to lend it to someone else. And because it's obvious that's not what he wanted. And you can't do what someone else didn't want. Ella rather says, Rabbi Yechanan, what Rebbe's teaching us in the Mishnah is that it actually applies to the agency of the get itself that the Mishnah is teaching us that lo yishal chena, that he's not allowed to send it with someone else. In other words, if the shliach sends it with another shliach, says Rabbi Yechanan, what Rebbe's teaching us is that zin in the gita nama lehava, that actually sometimes it's not even going to be a get. That's how far his kepeda is, that when he says, I want you to pick up that object, and he doesn't want anyone else to do, that if he does send it with someone else and someone else picks it up, that actually the get won't even be a get then. And later on, the Gemara is going to explain, what does it mean sometimes it's not going to be a get? When is that sometimes? Now, the reason for this is because dinasa kemisha amalai, because it's as if the husband's telling him, al tegarsha el babayis, meaning he's making a condition in the delivery of the get, where here the condition is, as long I want you to pick up the object. Now, he doesn't want someone else to pick up the object, that Emun agrees to. So, says Rabbi Yechanan, it's as if he tells him, I only want you to divorce her on the ground floor. The girsha baliyah, and he divorces her, he gives her the get in the attic. Or he says, al tegarsha el babayimin, says, I want you to divorce her only with the right hand. And divorce her with the left hand, where he didn't make him a shliach to do with the left hand. And therefore, that won't be a valid delivery of the get. So here also, sometimes, since the shlichas, the agency of the get, he made it contingent on getting his object back from the wife, that's a kapeda of the husband. And therefore, it's as if you don't do it what he had told you, that it's not going to be a valid get at all. Now, the Gemara explains now this to Rabbi Yechanan and said that zimnin the gita namalehava, that sometimes it's not even going to be get. Sounds like, but the majority of the times, even though he sends it with someone else and he wants his object picked up from the wife, that the majority of times it will still be a get, even though it's being sent by someone else. So how do we understand this? So the Gemara explains, the Kuli Alma, everybody agrees, Hecha denofke la'ape, where the woman sees the agent coming with the get, which this is the second agent, where she sees him coming to him, v'yavo le'chefetz, and she right away understands, she knows that the husband wants his object back. If she first gives the object to the second shliach, v'hadu shaklim in egita, and only then does she take the get from him, says the Gemara kul amalei pligi, no one's going to disagree, even Rabbi Yechanan, the gita ma'al yahava, that the get will be a valid get. Now, even though the husband did not want his object to be in someone else's hands, which it is in this case by the second shliach, the shlichas of the get is not going to be nullified. And the reason being is because it's going to be like every shlichas of a get, where the shliach could make another shliach. Now, the reason for this is because regarding the get itself, that doesn't bother the husband, as we learned in the first halacha of the Mishnah, where if someone's delivering a get and then he becomes sick, he could send someone else to do that. Now, the reason being is because the get itself is not really dependent on the object itself. In other words, because the husband wants her to get the get. Now, it just happens to be, he's like, okay, kill two birds with one stone. I'm sending you to deliver the get, so pick up the object. But the truth is, he himself could go ahead and, after he sends the shliach, and the shliach, let's say, gets another shliach, he could pick up, and he doesn't trust the second shliach, he could pick up the object himself. He could pick himself up and go get it from the wife. And he could send the get with someone else. Now, therefore, even though that something was changed regarding his picking up of the object, because it wasn't this guy who he sent, someone else who maybe doesn't trust was the one that picked it up, but that's not a deviation in the delivery of the get itself, because, and this is what's important for this case, he already had his object, albeit in someone else's hands, but he already had it before the get was given, and only then the get was given, so he's okay with that, he acquiesces in regards to, okay, I didn't want to give the get because I wanted to make sure I got the object, you already have the object. So there's really two things going on over here. One is you already got your object, so okay, you're okay with her getting the get. Now, although the object is being done with someone else, but again, they're really two different missions. So the get itself, as we learned in the mission, he's okay sending with someone else. And therefore, although he's not okay necessarily with his object in someone else's hands, but the get will be a get. And the object, since he already has it, okay, so he's okay with giving the get now. So there, even Rabbi Yechon would agree, as we already inferred from his words, that the majority of the times, it will be a valid get. Key plea, but the Gemara says, when does Rabbi Yechon argue with Rish Lakish regarding the halacha of Rabbi in our Mishnah? Meaning, if regards if that you don't want your object to be in someone else's hands, if that's even going to impact the validity of the get, that's Hecha de Amalei, that's where the husband tells to the Shliach as follows. He says, as we continue on Tamad Beis, Shokum in al-Chefetz. He says in this order, he says, take from her an object, v'hadu havla gita, and then give her the get. And we see, because this is what the husband wants to make sure. He wants to make sure he gets his thing back. I'm not giving her the get until I get my thing back. And that's what he tells to the shliach. Now, v'azal ihu, however, the shliach goes, v'yavla gita, and first he gives the get. V'hadu shokum in al-Chefetz, and only then does he take the object from her, where the husband had said, in his order, he said, first take the object. So that's something that he was particular about, where he was going to withhold the validity of the get if she doesn't give him the object. And he would even make her a neguna until he gets it. So therefore, it seems that the husband is requiring in the validity of the get the receipt of that object first. Now, this shliach, if he deviates from how the husband had told him, therefore it's like the husband's telling him, divorce her only in this place, in the ground floor, and they divorce her in the attic, where that we said is not going to be a valid get. So therefore, Rabbi Yechanan says that it's actually going to be puzzle if you deviate from the order the husband sent you, even if it's the first shliach, even if it's the shliach that he had sent. And for sure, when the agent sends his own agent, which is the shliach sheni, then for sure it's going to be a problem. Now, as Rashi explains, this is what Rabbi Yechanan meant when he was saying that zibnin the gita namal haba, that sometimes by deviating from what the husband had sent, it's not even going to be a get, because what the Mishnah was teaching when they said lo yishalchenu bi'aracha, that you shouldn't send it with someone else, the reasoning of that was because maybe when the first one gives over his shlichus from the husband to the second guy, maybe he won't give it over exactly as the husband had told him. Well, he won't tell him in the right order. So, what did he tell me again? He said, go ahead and give her the get and pick up the object, which that's incorrect. Or even if he tells it to him the right way, but the second one might not be so precise in what the first one told him, and he's going to deviate because he's going to first give her the get and then he's going to get the object, which that invalidates the get because the husband was particular, which you're right, there would be a problem even by the first one. But specifically, the Mishnah tells us don't send him with someone else because he's for sure going to mess up. That's how Rabbi Yechanan understands that it's not even going to be a get then if you change the order. Whereas Rish Lakish, he's the other extreme. Machshir b'shluchei, he says it's okay even if you send the get with a second person. But kol shekein bayim, for sure, if it's by the first shliach, because he holds that the husband's not particular. It's just the normative way where the husband says, he says, look, I want to make sure I get my object and then give her the get. But even if you first give the get and then you take the object, it's going to be okay, which by the first shliach, and therefore the same thing would apply even with a shliach, because we know a shliach sending another shliach is okay. Now, the husband might not want it, as Rish Lakish says, in the second shliach's hand, so therefore you're not allowed to go ahead and send the second shliach. But says Rish Lakish, if you did, then it's going to be valid, because those are really two different missions, and as long as you get the object, the husband's okay with the get being given, even if you didn't do in the order that he told you. He's just telling you that generally, someone tells you something about his object, you can't give it to someone else. But again, if you did, it will not invalidate the get. That's how Rish Lakish holds in his disagreement with the interpretation of Rabbi Yechanan, who he holds, not just with a second shliach, even with the first shliach. If there is a deviation, it's not going to be a kosher get. Again, just like when he says divorce with the right hand and he divorced with the left hand, that will not be a valid delivery of a get. Now, the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again, the same as the previous Mishnah, but instead of bringing the get in Eretz Yisrael, here the halacha changes, because here it's talking about hamevi get memedinas hayam v'chala. Here, an agent was bringing a get from overseas, and he became sick, so he can't finish his journey, and he wants to now give it over to someone else to deliver it. Here it changes, because here, oyse shliach bebezdin mashalcha. Here, unlike the first case, he could appoint another shliach to finish up his job and send him to the wife, but he has to go ahead and appoint this other shliach in court. Why? Why is this different than in Eretz Yisrael? Because Va'imer, the first shliach has to say lefneim in front of the court, befanei nechtav or befanei nechtam. In front of me was written, in front of me was signed, because the second guy can't say that. He got it from the first shliach. So since from Medina Siyam, somebody has to say befanei nechtam, the only one that can do that is the first shliach, and he's not going to be the one delivering it to the woman. So what he does is, he comes to court, says, look, I can't finish this up, I'm not feeling well. So in front of me was written, in front of me was signed, and then the court hears that, okay, we know that it's kosher, we know that it was verified, and we know that it was written l'shma, so good, we testify that, and now we'll have this guy finish up the last leg of your journey. Now, moreover, as the Mishnah tells us, v'ein shliach achrin tzarch shiyem b'fanei nechtam. Now the second agent, the last agent, doesn't have to say in front of me was written, in front of me was signed. Rather, when he comes to deliver it to the woman in front of the witnesses or the court that's there, he just says, I'm an agent of that court. Now, we assume that that court did it as according to the halacha, which is that they already verified that the first agent that had brought it did it accordingly. And if a court, if you're a shliach bezin, so for sure you're doing the will of what Jewish law is, and therefore it doesn't have to say more than just saying, I am a shliach bezin, and that's what he is, because the court already verified what they had to. Now, relating to the halacha of Mishnah, the Gemara says, "Amr li Rabbanan la Avimi b'Reid Rebavo." The Rabbi said to Avimi, the son of Rebavo, "Boi mirebavo. Ask your father, ask Rebavo the following question: Shliach de Shliach, meaning the halacha of our Mishnah, when a shliach was a shliach of the first shliach, meaning he was appointed by the courts to be the second shliach for the last leg of the journey. Mashvi shliach, could he himself make a third shliach? Oilai or not?" So Amalahu, he said to them, why is this a question I should ask my father? That shouldn't be a question. Mindiktani, from the fact that we learned in our Mishnah that said, Ein hashliach ha'acharon. It says that the last shliach doesn't have to say b'fanei nechtav. Now it doesn't say hashliach hasheini, the second shliach. Mechlal says, Avimi, you could infer demashvi shliach, that the second shliach could make a third shliach. Because, or else it would have said hashliach hasheni. If it says ha'achrin, the last one sounds like second, third, fourth, they could keep on making shlichim, shlichim, shluchim. Elakit debaylichu, rather says Avimi to the rabbis, what you should ask is ki mashri shliach, that, but when he does make a third or fourth or fifth shliach, bebezin, does it have to be in court just like the first guy had to be in court because he was bringing from Medina Siyam? Or yefil shalei bebezin, or even not in court? Now Amrulay, they responded to Avimi back, no, holam ibaylim, that we didn't have a question about. Midigtani, from the fact that we learned in our Mishnah, Elo oimer shliach bezdin ani, we said that the last agent, which you're inferring last can mean even number 6, 7, 8, whatever it is, he says, it doesn't have to say b'fanei nechtav, even though it's coming from Medina Ziyam, because the first one already said b'fanei nechtav. All he says is, I'm an agent of the court. So you see that he has to say, I'm a shliach bezdin, which means to say that whoever the last guy is, no matter how many shluchim there are, they all have to be appointed in court. And again, that's a continuation of the first guy, since this is a type of a get that requires Bezdin verification, because it originated in Medina Siyam, so the courts have to verify it, with every shliach along the way has to be continued verification that I'm an agent of the court, and therefore has to be done, again in contrast to when it's being brought in Eretz Yisrael, to say that I'm a shliach bezdin, that means to say he has to appoint it in the court itself. That was one version of that discussion. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Masnihach, he has a different version that's similar to this previous discussion, where Amalei Rabban Lavimi Bered Rebavo. The rabbi said to Avimi, the son of Rebavo, Boim Mirabavo, ask from Rebavo the following question. Shliach the Shliach, the agent of the agent, Ki Mashvi Shliach, here in this version they're assuming that he could make a Shliach, that when he makes a third Shliach, Bebezin Oishle Bebezin, does he have to do it in court or not in court? So Amalei, he said to them, what do you mean? V'ti Boilechu, you're making assumptions, you should first ask, if he could even make a third shliach, who said he could make a shliach? So Amrulay, they said to him, no, that wasn't the question, because now we learned in our Mishnah, ain't a shliach achrin. Here the who saying what is switched from the first version, where they say, no, that wasn't a question, because it says that the last agent doesn't have to say, b'fanei nechtav. Why say last? Why don't say the second? Obviously because they could continue making shluchim. Mechlav de shliach, mashav shliach, obviously the second shliach can make himself a third shliach. But what our question was, bebezin, oishulei bebezin, does he have to do it in court, or does it not have to be in court? Amlahu, he said to them, ha'anam elu tebailachu, then if that's the case, if you're inferring from our Mishnah, then that also shouldn't bother you. Because the Tani will learn in the Mishnah, elu'im eshlich beznani. He says, I'm an agent of the court. Obviously, that even the later shluchim have to be done in the court itself. And therefore, that answers your question. The Amar Rabba says, shliach be'eretz Yisrael, if you have an agent from a get that's being sent in Eretz Yisrael, oisa kama shluchim, so you can make many different agents. In other words, the first one can make a second shliach, the second one can make a third shliach, and so on. And they don't need the courts, as we had learned actually in the previous mission. And the reason being is because here it's different from the previous discussion that we just quoted, since even the first agent doesn't have to say anything of befani nechtam to be verified in the court. So the last one doesn't have to say, I'm a shliach bezdin, because even the first guy didn't need a court. No one needed a court, so no one has to say, I'm a shliach bezdin. They could just continue the chain from one shliach to the next shliach to the next shliach. All they're doing is delivering a piece of paper, so we don't care who it is. You don't have to be a shliach bezdin. The paper just has to get there to the woman. Because again, we're not concerned for no lishma. And there's also Eidim Tzurin L'Kaima. Now, however, Amar Vashi, he qualifies and he says, Im Meis Rishay. So he said you can make as many shluchim as you want to, but if the first shliach dies before the last shliach goes and delivers the get to the woman, says Rav Ashi, batlu kulam. All the agents are batl now, and it's not going to be a valid get. Because Rav Ashi assumes that the one who was invested with the shliches was the first one from the husband. Now he's passing on that shliches to all the other people to be considered benasim b'yada as an extension from the husband. But if the first one dies, so all the shluchim, they fall apart. They have nothing to stand on. And therefore, if he dies before all the other shluchim, it's not a valid get. And that Amma Mar Bar Ravashi, so Mar, the son of Ravashi, he said, Hoda Abba, this halacha that was just said over my father, dikat nusahi. It's something that my father said, a halacha from his younger years. In other words, what he was trying to say was that because you could actually ask on that interpretation of his father. Because he says, what do you mean? Ilo meis baal, if the husband would die, midi mashasha ispahu, do you think there's any substance to the get, even if, let's say, the first shliach is still alive? But no, because kulam ukoich man kaasu, who are they all, from whose authority are all these shluchim coming from to deliver the get? Mekoich the baal kaasu, they're all coming from the husband. The husband is the one who's venasa b'yoda has to put in his wife's hand. But he could have a shliach. Now that when that shliach makes another shliach and so on and so on, they're all coming from the authority of the husband. So therefore, says Mar Bar Vashi, Isla Baal, if the husband's still alive, Isnu Lekulu. All the shluchim are also still existent in their ability to deliver the get, even if the first shliach is already dead. Because they're not coming from him, they're coming from who hired him, which is the Meshaleach, which is the Baal. Less la baal, if the husband's not around, less than lakula, then no one could go ahead and give it. And therefore he argues on his father's halacha, even if the first shliach died, as long as the husband is alive, then they could go ahead and still deliver the get to the woman. Now the Gemara brings the following incident. Ahu gavra, the shadu legita ledebesu. There was a certain man that sent a get to his wife. Now amah shliach, the shliach said, lo yadanala. I don't know, I don't recognize her. I know you want me to deliver it to your wife. I don't know who she is. So the man said to him, okay, you know what? Zil yahavila Abba Bar Menyumi. You'll be able to know this big Talmud Chacham. Go ahead and give it to Abba Bar Menyumi. The Ihu Yadala, he knows my wife. Velezo velezo v'nala, and he'll go ahead and he'll deliver to her. So when you go to that town, I know you're not going to know who my wife is. Give it to this Talmud Chacham, and he'll give it to my wife. Now, Asa v'lo ashkech l'Abba Bar Menyumi. Now, when he came to that town, he came and he didn't find Abba Bar Menyumi to give it to him so that he could give it to that guy's wife. Now, but however, Ashkechele Rebavo, Verbechanin about Papa, Verbeitzchuk Nafcha, but he came upon these three Talmid Chacham, and Beyosef Rav Safra Gabai, and Rav Safra was sitting amongst those three, and Amrulay, they said to him, look, you're looking for this Abba Bar Menyumi, you can't find him. Masr Miloch Kamei Didan, give over your words in front of us. In other words, say your sentence you have to say as a Shliach, and give us the get. And say, as you're saying from Bendina Siam, say Bifani Nachtav or Bifani Nachtam, that Chiyesi Abba Bar Menyumi, that when Abba Bar Menyumi comes, Nasvinale, we're going to give it to him, and he'll be able to be a Shliach Bez. In other words, you're coming from Bendina Siam, you come to the court, you'll say Bifani Nachtav in front of us, and that's valid, and then we'll give it to him, and he'll be the Shliach Bez, because we're a court, we could authorize him to be the Shliach Bez, to go out and deliver it to that guy's wife. And then he'll give it to her. So Amlu Rav Safra said to those three Talmidei Chachamim who wanted to be the Beis Din that this guy should deliver it to, he said to them, what do you mean? But this is an agency. This is a shlichus which was never given over to execute a gerishin. In other words, this shliach was never made a shliach to divorce this guy's wife. He didn't know who the wife was. So the mishalech, the husband said, okay, give it over to Abba Bamanumi. So therefore, he's not an extension of the husband to be able to give it over to someone else, which is only valid if you're a shliach of gerishin. In other words, the husband has to fulfill the nasa miyada. Now, he can fulfill that through an agent, shliach shalom kamaisai. Now, if the shliach, who's an extension of the husband, makes a shliach, so that could continue ad infinitum, and you could go ahead and have him make a shliach. But that's only if you're a shliach of the husband of fulfilling b'nasa miyad of gerishin. He's not a shliach of gerishin. He's not going to the wife to give it to her. His agency was to go ahead and give it to Abba Bamanyumi. That's not a shliach of gerishin. That was give it to him, and he'll give it to her. He's maybe the shliach of gerishin. So how can you say that he should give over to the cords to then continue it by fulfilling his shliach of gerishin by saying b'fanenachtam? That wasn't his job. He's not a shliach of gerishin to continue it to someone else. So the Gemara tells us that ichsufu. These three Talmidei Chacham were embarrassed. Rav Safra had a good claim, and what were they trying to do over here by being a Beis Din of fulfilling his shlichus of gerishin when he wasn't a shlich of gerishin? Amar Rava commented, and he says, "Kafchinu Rav Safra, so to speak, cut off the legs." In other words, that these three Talmidei Chachamim did not have any response of, and he cut off the legs of Letlos Rabban Asmuchi, of three ordained rabbis, where he, in one fell swoop, he said one time, and then they didn't have an answer for what he said. What they were trying to do was obviously inappropriate. Now, however, Amr Rav Ashi responded. He says, "No, what are you talking about? But my kafkinu, with what did he cut off their legs?" In other words, Rav Ashi is saying that Rav Safra didn't have a good claim, because Mika Amarle, did the husband tell this shliach that Abba Bamanyumi should divorce his wife Veloyat and not you? What do you mean? If this shliach would know who his wife was, that's actually, initially he told him to give it to his wife. The guy just said, "I don't know who your wife is." I said, "Okay, fine, you don't know my wife, so give it to Abba Bamanyumi." But of course he'd prefer him to give it straight to his wife. So although he told him to give it to Abba Bamanyumi, he wasn't saying, "and not you." So he was also a shliach legerishin. So why wouldn't it be valid what these three Talmidei Chacham are saying, to be the shliach of gerishin, give it to us, the court, and we'll make him a shliach Beis Din? So therefore, he held that the three Talmidei Chacham were actually correct in what they were trying to do. Now, however, Ikud Armi, they don't say a different version. That Omar Rava had commented that Kafchina Rav Safra Letlasa Rabban Asmuchi B'Tu'usa. He was taking Ravashi's position in this second version. He said that had Rav Safra cut off their legs in error, because it's a mistake. Because, as we quoted from Ravashi, that what do you mean? He was, of course, a Shliach Ligerishin. Where in this version of Ravashi, he says takes the other position. He says, "No, my Tu'usa. What was Rav Safra's mistake? Rav Safra was correct. My kamale, because what did the husband tell the shliach? Abba Bamanyumi, veloyat. That who should go ahead and deliver the get? Only Abba Bamanyumi and not you, because since you don't know who she is. So let him be the shliach, and I'm not making you the shliach of gerishin." And therefore, in this version, Rav Ashi held that Rav Safra was correct, because he said, "Okay, you're not a shliach of gerishin, only Abba Bamanyumi is." And therefore, the three Talmidei Chacham were incorrect in trying to have him fulfill his job as a shliach legerishin to be able to pass it on to someone else. How could you pass it on to someone else? That only works within the framework of a shliach of gerishin, but as a shliach of giving it over to Abba Menyumi, you have to do your job of giving it only to Abba Menyumi and not to the courts as a shliach of gerishin. Now the Gemara continues with another story, that Ahu Gavra the Shad Legitil the Besu. There was a certain man that sent the get to his wife. Now Amalei L'Shliach, he said to the agent, "I don't want you to give it until 30 days. After 30 days, you could give it to her, but not until 30 days. Now, isnis, an oinis happened to the shliach, within 30 days, that he couldn't go after 30 days. Something came up. After 30 days, he's not going to be able to go anymore. So, aslikame the rabbi, it came from the rabbi. What should he do? Because he can't deliver now, because the husband said only after 30 days, and after 30 days, I can't go anymore. So, I'm a rabbi. Rabbi said, what's the reason in our Mishnah that we said that if the agent becomes sick, that he could send it with someone else? That's Mishnah the honest, because it's an oinus. So he said, "Hai nama honest, so your situation of beyond your control that you can't go is also a situation of oinus. And therefore, okay, no problem. You could send another shliach to go in your stead." Now, Amalei, so he said to him, what you should do is, Masu Miloch Kamedidan, Rabbi says, give it over in front of our court, that after 30 days, we'll appoint another shliach in your place, and that shliach will give it to her. Meaning, as we said, that next person will be a shliach bezdin, but you'll fulfill your shliachs by giving it to us. Amalei Rabban LaRava, so the rabbi said to Rava, what do you mean? But he's not a shliach that's able to execute a gerushin because it's still within 30 days. In other words, he's not a shliach of gerushin yet. A shliach of gerushin, similar to the previous incident, could go ahead and execute by giving it over to another shliach. But he's not a shliach of gerushin yet because only after 30 days is he a shliach of gerushin. Before 30 days, you can't. So how can you now have him fulfill his objective of shliach legerushin by presenting it to the courts, and then the court will just make a shliach bezdin, but he's not a shliach of gerushin yet because it's still within 30 days. So the rabbi said to the rabbis, no. Kiven de labasit losin yemin matzah megaris, since after 30 days he could divorce the wife as a shliach of gerushin, so kishliach shenitin legerushin. So essentially, he is like a shliach of gerushin. It's just a limitation, a time limitation of 30 days, but he is intrinsically a shliach of gerushin, and therefore he could go ahead and pass it on even now within the 30 days. But the Gemara has a different problem with this. The leich is shema, but we should be concerned that maybe the husband came to his wife within those 30 days. He said only you could deliver the getar after 30 days. But maybe within those 30 days, he secluded with her. And pious. Maybe he appeased, they made up, the husband with the wife, and maybe he was intimate with her. Now, what that would do is, that would make the get into what's called a get yashan, an old get. Now, the problem with that is, as the Gemara says, Mila Tanan, didn't we learn in the Mishnah Daf, Ayin Vav Mabeis, that says, if let's say the husband tells, regarding the get that he's giving to his wife, he says, Me Achshav, I want this to be considered a get from now, Im Leibasim Mikan Badyot Beis Chodesh, if I don't come back within 12 months. If I don't come back within 12 months, it's a get from now. But if I do, then it's not a get. Now, the halacha, the Mishnah says, is umeis betech yod bitzchaydish. Let's say he doesn't come back, not because he doesn't come back, because he actually dies within the 12 months. Says the Mishnah, hareza get. So it's a valid get, because he didn't come back. If he didn't come back, it was a get from now. Now, the Gemara says, vavinaba. Now, we had asked on this halacha of the Mishnah Taf, Ayin Vav Mabeis, that how is that a kosher get? V'neches shem epayis. We have to be concerned that maybe within those 12 months, they made up. And because that's a long time that he could have came and made up with her, and therefore maybe that this invalidates the get. Now Rashi just points out one thing, that this is not to be confused with, let's say, someone that sends a get from overseas, where there's also no set time for how long it's going to take till it gets to the woman. So maybe that should also be considered a get yashan. It took 3 months from when the get was written until when it was delivered. There Rashi says we don't have any reason to be concerned that maybe he made up with her, thus being intimate after the delivery of the get, which will invalidate the get, as the Gemara explains elsewhere, what's the problem with that regarding get yashin, because the husband's going to say, no, if I'm traveling and the shliach's traveling and I already sent him out, he's going to get to before me. And she already got the get and there's no reason for me to go ahead and make the journey to make up with my wife if she's already divorced. But the question that we did have on the Mishnah Daf Ayin Vav Mabeis was, when he says, if I'm not back within 12 months, he very likely could, within 3 months, come back and be intimate with her. And then 12 months later, we're going to say, oh, that it's a get. But we have to be concerned that maybe he was Mathiasar, and then it's a get yashin. And the get yashin is always intrinsically puzzle. Now, on that says the Gemara, V'amar Rabbi Bar Avuna. Rabbi Bar Avuna had said that Hachi Amma Abba Mori Mishmei Derav. How do we understand this halacha and that Mishnah? Why is there a kosher get? If he doesn't come back within 12 months, why isn't it a get yashin? So the reason is because Ba'imer, the way you have to explain that Mishnah is, it's where the husband says in front of the court, at the time when he's giving it over to the woman, and he says this, Me'akshav, if I don't come back within 12 months, he says to the courts, she is nemenis alai, she's believed regarding me as if she's 100 witnesses in all situations. In other words, if I'm going to contest and say that it's a get yashin, meaning, as Tais explains, really the whole concern is regarding the husband's contesting, he's saying that no, I trust her, loy mishalei basi, to say that I did not come back within the 12 months. And so therefore, since from the beginning he believes her, so we don't believe him anymore when he contests and says, wait a second, I said if I don't come back within 12 months and I didn't come back, what do you mean? I did come back and we were misyachid, nifratziket yashin, it's a pasul get, I'm contesting the whole divorce of the wife. He really preempted that by saying to the courts, I will believe her if she says I didn't come back. So if we're going to believe her and he's not going to be believed, so as Rashi says it, so for sure we're not going to go ahead and contest that it's a get yashin. We have no reason to believe that he did come back because we don't believe him. So obviously, explains the Gemara in its question, is only because he said this beforehand. But if he doesn't come to court beforehand and say that I believe her to say that I did not come back, that we are concerned that maybe within those 12 months he was intimate with her, and therefore, even in the case of Me'ach Shav Al-Achiyot Beis Chaydish, even if he doesn't come back, so to speak, after 12 months, it will be a pasul get. Why? Because we're concerned that maybe he was Mephias or within those 12 months and he was Misyachid with her. Now, therefore, we see that get Yashin is a real problem. So therefore, the problem is that the Gemara is asking is, so okay, fine. The problem is, however, regarding this case, we have to be concerned that if he said you could only deliver it after 30 days, maybe within those 30 days, he was miyachid with her. He secluded with her. And that would make it into get yashin. So now the Gemara says, ichsef. So Rabbah was embarrassed. Because although Rabbah, let's say, took care of one variable that he was thinking in his head regarding the shliach making another shliach, which is okay. He said that it's considered as if it's a shliach nitin legerishin within 30 days. But how do you take care of the problem of that it's a get yashin? The husband's agency in itself was flawed. Because if he's saying you can't do it within 30 days, that makes it then a get yashin. Now, however, the Gemara does tell us that l'saif igloi milsa darusav. It ended up turning out that this the husband that was sending the get with this agent to only deliver it after 30 days, and this guy couldn't, within 30 days something came up, he's not going to be able to do it. Turns out that the woman he was divorcing was an arusa, a woman that he was only halachically engaged to. On that, Amaravi says, what I said is an appropriate psak. Because im amru bin nesua, if they said this concern of get yashin, when did they say it? By a married woman, where they have an intimate relationship already. There, we have to be concerned that maybe he's going to go ahead and appease her within that time frame, and therefore you can't have time frames. Because that makes sense to get yashin. Yemir ba'arusa, do you think they said it also by a woman that he's engaged to? No, a woman that he's engaged to, they don't have such an intimate relationship yet. And therefore we have no reason to assume or to suspect that within the time frame that he said after, you could only give it after 30 days, that within those 30 days he was miyachud with her, because they never even had yichid before that. They were never intimate. And therefore, what Rava had proposed turns out was an appropriate suggestion, because there's no problem about Shliach Shnitin LeGerushin, and moreover, there's no problem by Get Yashin because Get Yashin is only concerned by Nisuin and not by Erisin. Now, however, Amar Rava, but what Rava does say is, Havadi Kamei Baylan. But the question that we do have is, as we continue on top of Lamed Amud Aleph, is Kimashbu Bezdin Shliach. But when the court does make a second Shliach, does it have to be Befanav? In other words, so good, we took care of the concern that you had asked, it's a Shliach Shnitin LeGerushin. There's no concern about get yashin, but the question that we really do have is that when the court finally does make a second shliach to deliver it after 30 days, does it have to be befanav? Does it have to be in front of the first shliach who's not going to be able to make it to that other place? Oh, he shalai befanav, or could it even be not in front of the first shliach, which essentially is like in this case, where this first guy, something came up, and he can't stay here anymore and continue on, he has to continue on his journey, he has to go back home, wherever he has to go. So that's what Rava says. If anything is a question, the question would be, can I do what I proposed? Because this guy's not going to be around after 30 days when we're going to make a second shliach, and maybe the second shliach that the court's making has to only do it in front of the first shliach. On that had the pashta, then Rava later resolved that too, and he says, bein befanav, bein shalai befanav, it doesn't make a difference, even if the guy's there, or even if he's not there, the court already received the testimony of the first one. They heard his befanav nechdem, and therefore they can make a shliach bezdin, even shliach befanav of the first guy, and therefore Rava's proposal still stands the test of time. And so to Shulchan Mitam, they sent the same halacha from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, bein befanav, bein shliach befanav, the second shliach that the court's making as an extension of the first one, could do it whether he's there or whether he's not there, and that's why Rava told this guy, okay, no problem, give over your testimony to us, and after 30 days, we'll send another person to deliver the get to this arusa of that man.